The HSE recently announced that it was going to gather more comprehensive data on abortions taking place across the country. This is, in the words of the pro-life campaign, a very welcome move. Alish Mulroy from the pro-life campaign joins us now to tell us more about the story and many others as well in the pro-life sphere. Alish, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Arthur. It's always lovely to have the chat.
Just remind us, Alish, the work of the pro-life campaign. Who are you? What's your focus? What's your purpose?
Well, the pro-life campaign is around since the 80s, really. And we are dedicated to raising the issue of the dignity of life and the protection of human life from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death, which means we campaign on the abortion issue, as well as euthanasia, end-of-life issues that impact on the right to life. And we also put a lot of focus on supporting women in unplanned pregnancy. So not just talking about it, but also supporting organizations and trying to help women who are in unplanned pregnancy. That's a very important element of our work. And we work on trying to influence public policy on the abortion issue. For example, reducing the abortion numbers, which are very, very high now in Ireland. And also bringing to light some of the information about abortion that maybe you wouldn't read in the papers, trying to educate the public about what's happening on the topic. So a lot of different things that we work on, and we work very much with grassroots supporters and members all over Ireland who participate in our events and who are part of the campaign. So it's a big campaign with people from a cross section of society, young, old, people in all walks of life, professionals, others, healthcare workers and professionals. So it's a very interesting interesting area to work in, Arthur, and always lots going on.
Okay, there are some news stories I want to speak to you about today, some happenings in the pro-life sphere. But first of all, let me ask you a question. We live in an age where it's about women's rights, and rightfully so, women should be respected. But ultimately, what do you say to the whole argument that you're taking away women's rights, you're fighting against women's rights to choose, that you are anti-woman, that in fact, that you're a bigoted right-wing extremist organisation?
Well, first of all, Arthur, the babies in the womb are both men and women. And I'd say the same when people say, you know, men can't have an opinion on the abortion question. I think that's entirely wrong, because we have both baby girls and baby boys in their mother's womb. We obviously, our organization is, our aim is to reduce abortion and give as many babies the chance to survive and thrive as possible. But, you know, I reject the concept that we're not in a position to kind of work with, people who hold an opposing view on abortion, because there are a lot of areas within this topic where there's common ground and there's kind of a shared beliefs. And like, for an example of that is, when a woman is in an unplanned pregnancy, currently in Ireland, when she seeks to get advice from the state-funded helpline, she really is only pointed in one direction. One of the things that we're campaigning for, and we're really trying to get the Minister for Health to take notice of this, is to ensure that women are given all of the choices, that they're given the other options, parenting, adoption, when they ring a helpline and they're abortion-minded. I don't think you have to be a pro-life person, a person who subscribes to every element of the pro-life campaign, to agree with that perspective. And, you know, similarly, if you look at the abortion numbers in Ireland and how massively high they are, huge, huge increase from when, you know, since abortion was legislated for in Ireland in 2019, we now have nearly 11,000 babies being aborted annually in Ireland. That's about one in six pregnancies. And again, I don't think that there are many, many people who might subscribe or who might describe themselves as being pro-choice who would be astounded at those numbers. So I think, you know, I'm always happy to, you know, own up to what we are. Obviously, we want to see every child protected, but I also think it's really important to remember that there are lots of areas, and that's why it's so important to keep talking about it. It's why I appreciate We appreciate being on your program and having the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners about it. It's really, really important that this is not, pushed under the carpet, that this issue is not discussed, debated, always, given how serious it is. You are ultimately, no matter what way you look at it, you're talking about ending human lives. And that sort of issue should never be removed from the public consciousness.
There were various promises made in the run-up to the referendum some years ago. One of the key promises, of course, was that abortion would be safe, legal and rare. It's definitely not rare. Whatever about safe, that's highly questionable as well. Whatever about legal. But my point to you is that there were various promises made. One of the promises made would be on gathering of data and transparency. This recent announcement by the HSE that more information will be gathered, more comprehensive data on abortions taking place will be gathered. First of all, before we go into the nuts and bolts of what they are promising to deliver now, why were such promises not fulfilled many years ago? Why is it only now in 2025 such promises are being fulfilled, or at least the promises being made to fulfill the promise?
It's a very good question, Arthur. When the abortion legislation was being debated, a number of TDs put forward an amendment seeking that the same amount of information about abortion as is kept in Britain would be kept here. And that amendment was rejected by the then Minister for Health, Simon Harris. We have been looking for, repeatedly calling for better data. Again, no matter what your view on the substantive issue of abortion, the idea that you would have good data around anything that's happening within the health services that's been provided by the state, the idea that you would, anybody who objects to data being collated and collected for public policy reasons is kind of a strange stance to have adopted. So we really welcome the news that the HSE is now developing a national electronic data collection system for abortion records. Now, it's important to note that that's only going to be relating to abortions carried out in hospitals, which means, for the most part, abortions over 9 to 10 weeks, so later abortions. But it's a very, very good first step. And, we still want to call for a complete overhaul of all of the factors that have led to so many abortions each year. But we're very happy that the importance of having more detailed information is now being recognised and implemented. Because, as you know, because we've talked about it before on this show, we just get crude figures at the end of June every year, which tell us the number of abortions that were carried out the previous year. The abortion providing doctors have to make certain returns to the department and have to give certain information, but there was a real gap in that information, and that information gap really impaired researchers and policymakers from getting a clear and accurate picture of what's happening in Ireland. And that's really important for evidence-based policies, no matter what area of life you're talking about. And it's very important to be able to see the trends, to be able to see, and also to see the risks. And we know there's been many scenarios where women who've been through abortion have ended up in emergency departments. There was a recent study from the south of the country where, a good percentage of women were ending up in emergency departments. So all of that data needs to be collected in order to inform future policy and also to protect women.
Is Ireland's new media regulator charged with ensuring openness and transparency and lack of bias in Ireland's media? How do you feel Chumash na mBan is handling, or indeed should handle, the whole spectrum of reporting on the topic of abortion in Ireland?
Well, Chumash na mBan is the successor to the former Broadcasting Authority. It's the media watchdog in Ireland. It's entrusted with a really crucial public responsibility, which is to act as the media's watchdog and ensure balance, fairness and integrity in broadcasting. In parallel with that, it administers a huge amount of money. So it manages both the regulation of the media, but it also administers millions of euros worth of public funds to media outlets to promote what it describes as this kind of high quality, trusted and independent news. And, you know, objectively speaking, looking at that, that really does create an unavoidable conflict of interest, because it's really impossible to act as an impartial regulator while simultaneously just distributing vast sums of money to the bodies that one is meant to regulate. So our view is, to start with, that that arrangement undermines the credibility of Commissioner Mann and calls into question its claims of independence. Separately, we would have, you know, a problem with Commissioner Mann in the sense that from the Pro-Life Campaign's point of view, and many of our supporters would have lodged complaints with Commissioner Mann over a number of broadcasts, which potentially could have been funded also. I don't know the fundings in the background, but broadcasts that dealt with the abortion question and dealt with it in a way that was very imbalanced and unfair. So you had an RTE Investigates programme, which was highly imbalanced from start to finish. And we spent a lot of time drafting a very comprehensive complaint to the Commissioner of Mine, which was rejected. In more recent times, there was a programme on Ireland AM where the issue of abortion was dealt with in a very crude way, where the guest was, they were kind of a laugh and a joke about the abortion question. Again, we complained about that, as did a number of our supporters, and again, rejected. So I suppose our experience on the abortion question with the Irish media has been very tough over the years. The mainstream media, for a lot of mainstream media, obviously honourable exceptions, have been very imbalanced in how they've treated this question. And for example, our national broadcaster, RTE, the public funded broadcaster, over many years, you know, we would feel, or we would have evidence to back it up. And we've many times done research and done literally down to counting the amount of time on programmes that the pro-life issue perspective is heard versus the pro-choice perspective. And RTE fails that test every time. So we've continually, I suppose, been in correspondence with RTE over the many years about the bias on the abortion question. And there was a feeling of hope that when the Commissioner Mann was set up, that, okay, there's a new entity in place now. Maybe you know, we'll get something new. That hasn't happened, and you know, we were very disappointed with the decisions of the commission, and I suppose that's probably deepened the level of cynicism from those coming from a pro-life perspective about its neutrality, about its effectiveness, and whether there is, you know, not wanting to question the sincerity of any one individual within that entity, but kind of a deep, kind of a impenetrable ideological bias within that organization, within its ranks. I mean, look, there's always, we should always be hopeful. We should always be looking to make things better, and hopefully something will change there. And that's why I suppose it's really important for us to continue to talk about these issues and talk to our politicians about them. And the Commissioner Mann issue is something that we are raising with politicians so that they're aware of our concerns around that. And hopefully that will bring some change.
An interesting story I want to chat to you about. It depends on which media outlet you read now, you'll get a slightly different view. But across the board, in this case, there's a news item about a pregnant woman. A man accused of murdering pregnant mum admitted responsibility during police interviews, the Sunday World says. The Irish Times goes with, man charged with pregnant woman's murder admitted responsibility, court hears. Sarah Montgomery, 27, was due to give birth last August, but was found dead in her home in June. A tragic story indeed that could and should and needs to be condemned. Ultimately, though, I'm curious, the Irish Times speaking about the value of what's inside a pregnant woman's womb in this regard, but they seem to have a slightly different tone in the run-up to the general, to the, I should say, referendum. What are your views on this?
Well, I mean, it goes back to the thing of where a baby is an unplanned pregnancy or a baby is a wanted baby. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, we are looking to try and bring forward legislation on this topic, where if a woman is attacked, and as a result of that attack, that her baby dies, even if it wasn't a deliberately attacking the baby, because in many of these cases, a woman is being attacked by it's a domestic violence situation, and it may or may not be the intent of the attacker that the baby dies, because the woman could be at different stages of pregnancy. But right now, there is no provision for that in the criminal legislation we have in Ireland. So we're hoping to, Senator Sharon Keoghan has discussed this in the Seanad, where she wants to bring forward some legislation to deal with this, so that there will be an amendment to the legislation to allow for this scenario, so that when an unborn baby dies as a result of assault, that baby and that the attacker, also that's taken into consideration in terms of sentencing, and that baby's life is considered. It is interesting what you say about how these things are reported, but you could say the same about, you know, you often hear over the years in the pro-life movement, people will often talk about a big hospital where on one side of the hospital, a 23-week-old or 24-week-old baby in the womb, or even later, as we know in Ireland, abortions can happen up until birth in certain situations. In one side of the hospital, a baby is being aborted in late pregnancy. And in another side of a hospital, there's a team of pediatric team working, you know, around the clock to save the baby who has been born and has, you know, some sort of illness or some sort of a problem, and as a result of birth, or maybe anticipated beforehand, but that baby is a wanted baby. So it is interesting, because when you go back to the basics, this is a human being. And that human being's right to life shouldn't depend on other people's desires. And that's really what's happened. And that's, I suppose, that sums up the abortion issue. It depends on how I feel, or whether I feel I'm ready. And you know, I'm not at all suggesting that it's easy. It's very, very difficult. And we know many, many women who have been through abortion, who have been through unplanned pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. But really, it's about how one person values that child. And that's really not a fair way for us to deal with this. A life is a life. But the media interest, and, you know, like as you say, they'll talk about a baby when it's wanted. They'll talk about a fetus when it's unwanted. So it is very interesting how all of that can also kind of impact on the public view, the person who's reading the media, and that's it's a very interesting area of how that operates, and it's one of the reasons why we need to continue to try and get this kind of truthful, balanced information out there, despite all of those challenges. Because we can talk about media bias from morning till night. It's up to us, and I'm not just talking about the pro-life movement, but, you know, any kind of area of life where you want to try and get your message across. You can't just sit and complain about the bias. You have to try and do what you can to get your information out as much as you can in other ways. And that's always a challenge.
There's a lot of news stories covered here today, but of course, a lot more covered on your website. Tell us, how could people get involved in your organization? How can they help the pro-life campaign if they wish, in terms of get more information, or maybe volunteering, whatever it is?
Always delighted to hear you ask me that question, Arthur. Our website is prolifecampaign.ie. We have a newsletter that you can sign up to. And if you sign up to the newsletter, we send out an email every Friday morning. And any of the different elements that we're doing, the webinars, the online, the offline events, like our recent conference in the Gresham in Dublin, which we had a few weeks ago, all of those things will be advertised in that. And it's the fastest, quickest way to get involved is to sign up to that and then come back to us in whatever takes your fancy. There are so many ways to get involved: research, you know, social media, churchgate collecting, all sorts of things that people can do, to fundraising. So we'd be delighted for people to visit the website and get in touch with us. We'll always find something for a willing volunteer to do.
Eilis Mulroy from the Pro-Life Campaign, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Arthur.